How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road, fresh off what I can assume to be minutes of sleep. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
I decided not to go to bed. I just replayed a bunch of basketball games.
Good for you.
I just went back and made up my own little highlight reel, and then I put it on TikTok, and I kind of did a little dance to it. So
you are a big TikToker.
By the way, Big Joe, apparently Big Joe loves college hoops as much as I do. He just sat there all day, like, and then tweeted at me and stuff and took pictures of me. But he was on press row, man.
I did see some visual evidence of him being there and taking pictures of you. So I can confirm that happened.
And I didn't realize it was you and Max yelling at me. I couldn't see. I heard Rex Road and I looked up and then but then I saw Max later. So thanks for the shout.
Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. Glad to be with y'all.
Glad to have you with us, Keyser. By the way, speaking of the SEC tournament, tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game for updates of the SEC men's basketball tournament today and tomorrow, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. So, Joe, let's start there. The SEC tournament underway. It was a quick stay for Vanderbilt here. Got off to a bad start in the first half and were not able to recover against Texas yesterday. What did you make of that win for Texas, the loss for Vanderbilt, and what that means for those two teams moving forward here?
Yeah, tough for Vanderbilt. I know some Vanderbilt fans are freaking out. I got to calm down my guy, Joey Garrison. Joey Garrison, my former coworker at the Tennessee and Vanderbilt alum, huge fan, covers the White House for USA Today. So, you know, but from afar, the Titans and Vandy in particular, you know, he's lives and dies with them. He's like, well, we don't deserve to be in. I'm like, well, you're going to get in. Vanderbilt's going to be in this tournament barring, like, all kinds of craziness in the next few days, which happens sometimes. But, I've got them still getting a bye, and they're going to be okay. But they have lost three straight games. They're not playing very well. Grant Huffman and MJ Collins are banged up. They need that to get better. According to Mark Byington, they both just have, you know, ankle twists, so you just need some time. So they're going to get, you know, this is a thing. It always stinks to lose in these things. And you want to compete, you know, against teams of your league, especially, you know, they had a pretty good crowd yesterday for Vanderbilt, and it's too bad it's over that quickly. But it might end up being a blessing for them, you know, to get this time. And sometimes teams go through these things and get to the last day, and they just beat the crap out of each themselves. And that could happen certainly this year in this tournament. But Vanderbilt will be fine. They'll be in. And I think it's actually better to be like a 10. Like, they could be an 11, but I think they're going to be a 10. Than it is to be an 8 or a 9 and be lined up to play a 1 if you win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I didn't think they were going to get to the 7 line anyway. I guess it would have been possible they went nuts, but I think they're going to be in fine. Texas keeps itself alive. And, of course, we get a little Texas A&M today now, and no love lost there, especially after, you know, sort of like the handshake line with the game that Texas won at home. But you got 14 SEC teams in there that are alive, with Oklahoma winning too. Those are the two weakest ones, and they both won. So they are trying their darndest to get 14 in. I have my doubts they're actually going to get 14 in, but they're trying.
They are trying, and Joe, it just felt like in the first half specifically, Texas got to whatever they wanted to get to on the offensive side of things. Vanderbilt could not answer on the other side. And when you dig yourself the hole that they dug in the first half, it's just going to be pretty hard to come back from that. And that's basically how that played out yesterday. You were down in such a hole in the first half that it's difficult to dig your way out of that in the second.
Yeah. I mean, Texas has, you know, look, they got a top 10 pick and in freshman Trey Johnson. And So he did some of his stuff yesterday. Sometimes I'm like, man, you can't take that shot. But he shoots well enough that, you know, ultimately you give him the green light. Vanderbilt just missed some shots that you expect to. And also, I mean, Texas's length really bothered him. Texas, look, this is, riding Terry. I mean, this is Rick Barnes' defense here. You know, this is still like basically the same DNA defensively with a lot of length, and definitely bothered Vanderbilt a lot yesterday.
So looking at today's slate, you've got, as you mentioned, Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma and Kentucky coming up tonight, Mississippi State, Missouri, Arkansas, Ole Miss. From the eyes of Joe Rexrow, the world's leading bracketologist, what's on the mind today as we look at today's slate of the SEC tournament?
Well, if Texas beats Texas A&M, I mean, I'm putting them in the field, you know. That would be two over them. Texas A&M's a 3 seed right now. That'd be two wins over them. You know, their non-league was not good. They didn't really schedule anybody, and so that's why, like Oklahoma, for example, Oklahoma beat Michigan, St. John's. You know, they have good wins before the SEC. Texas really doesn't, but with some other wins that they also have. And look, Vanderbilt's a good win. I mean, that's a quad one win for you on a neutral site. So I think Texas is in with a win. If Oklahoma beats Kentucky, I mean, then I just said I'd have my doubts they'll get 14 in, but like, I think it's going to be hard for them not to get 14 in if Texas and Oklahoma win today. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I also have my doubts a little bit that Texas will win over Texas A&M. But also in these conference tournaments, what you see a lot is, you know, like think about Tennessee last year with Mississippi State. You know, before a team gets fatigued, it does seem to be an advantage to play one day before. Get that game under your belt on the court, and then the higher seed comes in cold, and you see a lot of upsets. So we'll see. But, yeah, those two are I think could possibly punch their tickets today. And then, of course, the 1 seed battle royale starts tomorrow with Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee.
Does Tennessee have to win the tournament in your mind to get the 1 seed?
Well, they need Auburn to win. So
yes.
So they need Auburn to win their first game so they can get a win over Auburn. You get a win over Auburn on a neutral court. You know, remember, Alabama has a win at Auburn and Florida has a win at Auburn. And, you know, wins over Auburn, like they've lost 4 games this year.
They don't happen very often.
Yeah, so you got to have that win. If you get that win on Saturday, then you also, I mean, I think you need the other two teams to crap out. You know, I think it's almost more important. Yeah, more important than winning Sunday and winning the tournament is win 2 games, because it'll be a good win if you win Friday. I'm trying to even think what they're lined up for. I don't have it in front of me. Mississippi State, I think, right, would be the best. Or am I wrong about that? I might be wrong about that. It was supposed to be Vanderbilt. So actually, it would be Texas A&M.
I believe that is correct. I'm pulling up the bracket right now.
So, you know, Texas A&M would be the, you know, the potential win for them there. That's a great win. Beat Auburn, but then more importantly than winning Sunday would be Florida and Bama lose as early as possible. Don't let them get any more quality wins. That's what you're rooting for. And everybody's rooting today. I mean, I doubt it'll happen, but Houston plays Colorado today. Colorado upset West Virginia yesterday. And so if Houston could lose that game and not have any quality wins in the Big 12 tournament to help their resume, you know, that it's possible that two of these three could jump to that top line.
Did you see your boy Greg Sankey walking around yesterday at the tournament? Did he give you the side eye?
I didn't see him. Did you see him?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he's, you know, he shows up for the big ones, man. He shows up. I'm sure he'll be here today. I did not see him. I did read there was a piece in the Post and Courier, Scott Hamilton, not our Scott Hamilton, but a columnist out there who did a good Q&A with him, and Sankey was talking about being villainized by people.
No good.
In the media, and I'm like, look, man, if we can get rid of this auto bids thing, I'll wear a Greg Sankey t-shirt and put a crown on your head and call you the king of the world, you know? I mean, it's just, yeah. Greg Sankey's a great commissioner for the SEC. Done a lot of good things. And when it comes down to it, in sports and business, you got to be ruthless, you know, sometimes to win, and he has been. Now, I'm just saying, you get rid of these auto bids, dunk on that whole idea, you are, You're my hero.
Well, he doesn't know what those are.
There goes my hero by the Foo Fighters.
He does know what the allocations are. He doesn't know what the auto bids are.
That's right. I do like allocations is a good yes.
You know, those athletic directors, they've certainly brought that up. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, so, I assume he usually talks at some point during this thing, so I assume he'll do that, and maybe he'll do what Brett Yormark did and, you know, tell everybody how we need to expand the NCAA tournament, even though we damn well don't.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a less popular idea among, like, actual people out there than that. Like, college football playoff expansion is one thing. I think it's stupid. The tournament's already at a perfect size. We don't need to make it any larger. Like, if you're not one of the 68 best teams, I'm sorry, you're not getting in the tournament.
So I get so mad with like Seth Davis, you know, who's covered college basketball for a long time, and he writes these things like in support of, and the justification is that D1 keeps expanding, but that's at the lowest levels. That those teams aren't getting more bids. All we're doing is we're going to make sure that, you know, that Texas and Oklahoma are guaranteed to be in, but also, you know, North Carolina, and how about let's throw in like Pitt and Wake Forest?
No thanks.
Teams that, yeah, it's just like, look at how questionable. I mean, North Carolina is in my field today. Okay, I got North Carolina next to last team in. They have one quad one win this year. I feel embarrassed of my bracket to have them in, but like I couldn't not have them in. And so now you're going to tell me, let's make it so they're clearly safe with that performance. No.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We are off and running here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 645. Stilly will be with us today at 7 o'clock instead of tomorrow, so a Thursday visit from Stillman at 7 o'clock. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. The Titans continued the revamping of their offensive line yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on the program. The Players' Championship beginning today in the PGA Tour. Rex Road will have a breakdown of each player later in the program, so looking forward to that. He's spent countless hours putting that together on The Athletic.
8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
We need the whole hour.
He broke down the plane of Scottie Scheffler's swing, so we'll see what that looks like a little bit later in the program. Joe, the Titans continuing to add to their offensive line and revamp the protection for whoever their quarterback is going to end up being, which continues to be a mystery. Kevin Zeitler signing a one-year, $9 million deal with the Titans yesterday. A veteran presence on the offensive line. Zeitler, 35 years old. Joe, we talked about him with Kuharski on our program yesterday. Kuharski, a big fan of the idea of signing Zeitler, and that's exactly what the Titans do. So, you know, it's not necessarily been an overly busy week for the Titans in free agency, although there were some more moves made yesterday. We'll get to some more of those coming up here in just a few minutes. But they have revamped their offensive line. You've got Dan Moore Jr. now on the left side of the tackle spot, J.C. Latham moving to right side, and the addition of Kevin Zeitler coming in to play right guard. What do you make of those additions, the revamping of this offensive line, and the addition of Kevin Zeitler specifically yesterday, Joe?
Yeah, look, I like the addition of Zeitler. Kuharski said yesterday that was, you know, that was what he was looking at right guard. I think it's a good idea for the Titans to get another guard.
I agree.
So there you go. I'm just helping out the YouTube chat, fulfilling your requests. But, it's funny because with Zeitler, I think this is kind of a common thing. You can't read too much into these things, like fan bases and offensive linemen, unless they're stars. Like Lions fans are like, oh, got to upgrade over Zeitler, man, you know, last year. It's like, this is the best offensive line in the league. Got to upgrade that spot, yeah, you know. But he's been a good player, and it's an upgrade. He's a starter. He's a starting-level player. And so now you look at the right side. You have Zeitler and Latham. And, you know, again, I continue to – it's just, to me, it's like we've gone through any sort of, like, analysis we can probably go through on Dan Moore. We're just going to find out. He's got this whole offseason, and he's got all this time with Bill Callahan coming up. And, you know, if that can be – solid, then you definitely have an offensive line that has a chance to, I mean, I think, you know, to be like middle of the pack. And middle of the pack, if that's the case, would be obviously a huge upgrade. We'll see. I mean, center is also still a concern, right? Yep. Cushenberry. Play next year? How much does he play next year? How effectively does he play next year? I mean, that's why. So, like, Brunskill, for example, do they have another plan there other than, you know, like, you can always do, like, the Brunskill 11 stuff, or is there somebody else that they are looking at?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, because we don't know how long Cushenberry is going to be out. You would have to assume a big guy with an Achilles, it's going to creep into next year fairly significantly. I mean, I think you have to just operate under that assumption. And then if it doesn't, great. You've got him there and you got him available to you. But I think when you're talking about that specific injury with a big guy, it's hard for me to imagine him being like back, full strength, ready to go early into the year, right? Like, I mean, look, we talk about Achilles injuries with smaller guys, and it takes them sometimes, Joe, a year or two to get back to full strength off of that. So I think the Cushenberry thing is a big, big point of consideration as they move forward here. The Zeitler move specifically, I really like. I know some Titans fans are freaking out that he's 35. I get it. He's 35. He's not a spring chicken out there. I think he's played fairly well. And, Joe, one thing that I think if you look at the signings that they've made, and we're going to get to the Draymond Jones signing as well here in just a second, but there's a pretty common theme that I notice when you start to talk about all these guys, whether that's Xavier Woods, whether that's Dan Moore, you know, they're very available. Zeitler, he plays almost every game. We talk about in football, you're never going to come across like a clean injury history. It's just really hard to do when you're playing high-level football to have a clean sheet on the injury front. But pretty much all of these guys that they're signing right now, Joe, have pretty good history of being available in this league. I think that's clearly something that is important to Brinker and Borgonzi and his staff as they're looking at the players that they bring in. I mean, you know, Zeitler, 16 games, 17 games, 17 games, 16 games. It's all over the map with these guys in terms of pretty consistently being available.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously when things don't work out in whatever way for a team, a lot of times you see, like, let's do the other thing. A lot of times you see it with coaches, you know, yep. Tough coach or friendly player coach. This is one of those things where, yeah, it's a good idea to – this should be your policy. Now, granted, remember, Brinker, you mentioned Brinker in there. He was part of the crew last year who, you know, were getting some guys who had injury histories. And
oh, was he there?
It didn't work out. Yeah, he was. I believe he was. But yeah, no, I think that's – it's – look, John Robinson had some success with the – you can get value if you are willing to gamble a little bit on that stuff. And then obviously he had some very much not success. And so – I think it's going to be impossible for that to be your strict across the board policy at all times.
Yeah.
I think you might cost yourself some talent, you know, if that's generally how you go about things over the long haul, you're probably going to be better off. And again, I go back to Brinker. I mean, I don't know like how functional it is or, you know, I mean, we're going with the very simple data of, did you play in games? Remember though, that data, you know, for example, with Julio Jones, he had only had one season in which he had any disruption at all. Now, it was the season before he came here. But still, like, we talked about how durable he had been in his career when he came in here. And it turns out that the year before injury was, like, a problem and continued to be, you know.
Yep.
But does Brinker's injury model, much-discussed injury model, does that, like, come into play and help at all? Again, we're just going with, I mean, these guys – play every week. There are some people, you know, Zeitler comes from the Lions offensive line. There are people who play who have a terrible injury, like Frank Ragnow, their center, has like throat fractures. Yeah. And plays through them, you know what I mean? Like, it's like
he's insane. Well,
he played. Yeah. So yeah, he played, but it doesn't mean he's been healthy. But obviously in this league, you're always, everybody, let's quote Vrabel, 100% injury rate. And but I think it is, I mean, especially for Titans fans who are sick of, you know, all those years of all these guys being hurt and all these players who'd never play or barely play. It's got to be refreshing.
Well, we've talked all week long about, you know, my trepidation with Latham moving to the right side and what does that mean for how they've identified him. One thing I'm not going to sit here and deny, like, their offensive line is better, okay? Like, when you're replacing Nicholas Petit-Frere and you've got Latham on the right, Dan Moore, we'll find out exactly what he is as a starting level player for the Titans on the left. I like Zeitler. I think he's a good addition. There's no doubt in my mind that this offensive line is better. I guess the question is going to be, how much better is it? And can it get to a point where, like, I'm not asking this offensive line to be, you know, top five in the league, but can it be like middle of the pack? Because middle of the pack is an enormous upgrade over what they've had the last 3 years on that offensive line. And middle of the pack, Joe, may get you to a spot where, again, depending on who the quarterback is, you can see a functional offense. You can see what Brian Callahan's offense is supposed to be without every time you drop back to pass, you're peeling the quarterback off the ground. I mean, it'd be nice to see that this year.
Yeah, no question. It's better. Like, there's no question it's better. I mean, look, the amount of which it's better is, you know, Dan Moore is, you know, it's going to come down to that, yep. Right? I mean, so if last year's gains mean there's more ahead, and again, you know, there's Skoronski, that whole side, you got two pairings now. You got Skoronski Moore and you got, you know, Latham Zeitler. Center's still really a big deal. So, you know, I mean, that's a concern. And I wonder, you know, if there's more to come on that front. But no question they're better. Yeah, and then there's that little pesky thing you brought up about QB. That's kind of important. They're all gone.
Yeah, quarterbacks are quickly going off the table here. We'll get into that coming up next. Also, another signing that the Titans made yesterday on the defensive side of the ball that is very intriguing. We'll get into that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see Aziz Ansari at the Ryman Auditorium on Thursday, March the 20th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Cam to the program. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Hey, so the other day I was listening to Stillman and Company, and I haven't really heard anybody else really talk about this, but Dan Moore was tied, I think, for the most sacks given up last year. But Stillman had brought up that he had played 1,100 snaps last season, as opposed to the person that he tied with, who I believe was a Titans offensive lineman, who had only played literally half, like 600 snaps, as opposed to the 1,100 snaps. I mean, that's kind of a big, I mean, you get up 12 snaps or 12 sacks, which even PK said all of those, I think it was Friday, all of those, or maybe it was yesterday, couldn't be given up to him.
Right.
Sometimes it was inside pressure. Sometimes it was the quarterback holding on to the ball too long. But, I mean, you're talking about 12 sacks, not even, you know, all of them are responsible to him technically. And he played 1,100 snaps last season. I mean, is that not impressive? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Cam. I think Stillman was kind of comparing the line as a whole, Joe, and was talking about how, you know, Petit-Frere and the pace that he was on and the amount of sacks he was on pace to give up. I mean, there's no doubt that Dan Moore, J.C. Latham, that combo is a big upgrade over Nicholas Petit-Frere. I don't think anybody's arguing against that. The question is, like, you've thrown out the numbers this week on Dan Moore. How much of the improvement that we saw in those numbers last year is trending towards what he's going to be? This is another example, Joe, of the Bill Callahan part of this. Can Bill Callahan take what he has been in Pittsburgh and continue to build on that and continue to help him evolve as a player? I mean, but, as I brought up last segment, I think one of the things you like about Dan Moore, if you're the Titans, is exactly what Cam just talked about, and that is how many snaps he's played and how much he's been available. Like, that's a big plus for him.
Yeah, look, I mean, no one is sitting here, at least I don't think so, saying, see, those sack numbers mean that he's worse than Nicholas Petit-Frere. No, I mean, no one's saying that, right? I mean, of course, there's always context that's important. Number of snaps, as we've talked about, 5 of the 12 are attributed to two of the best how many, what, two of the best three, two of the best four pass rushers in the league?
It doesn't get much deeper than that yet.
Something like that, you know. So the two best. I mean, you know, quarterback. You know, then we get in the whole quarterback thing. I mean, it gives me flashbacks of like last year when you know, people wanted to like blame Levis for all his sacks. I'm like, yeah, Levis sometimes has some bad pocket awareness, but like, let's not candy coat what this offensive line is, folks. I mean, you know, in a lot of cases, he's running for his life right after the snap because he has to. So, but look, I mean, I don't think anybody in the right mind is claiming that Dan Moore is worse because he has the biggest number, that he's the worst tackle. Now, over the duration of his career, those numbers are, I mean, those numbers, the pressures and sacks being the worst in the league in his whole career, that says something to me.
Yeah.
That doesn't say nothing to me, but I think you just hit it. It's like last year, he clearly improved. The underlying numbers, the pressures, things like that improved, were solid. Pass block win rate was solid. So, you know, what does that mean? And then it's also the context of, you know, the Steelers letting him walk. They have drafted two tackles, and one of them was hurt last year, which is why he was still a starter. It'd be interesting because right now he would have been their third guy last year.
Yep.
And so he would have been their third guy last year with three terrible years on his record. So he probably would have gone for a lot cheaper, you know, actually, you know, in this period. I still, you know, to me, it's like, I don't know. I want three tackles I can rely on. I don't love the fact that the Steelers let him walk, but they weren't going to pay him starter money. So he's going to be, I'm sure, an improvement. To me, he's one of the most interesting things about when this season begins, this team starts playing football, and a key point, you know, is he going to be a problem or is he actually going to be sound and solid? Can he be a middle of the pack left tackle in the NFL? I think that's asking a lot based on his history, but we'll see.
The Titans make a move on the defensive side of the ball yesterday. Draymond Jones coming in. He was a third round pick back in 2019 of the Denver Broncos. Has played in Denver, has since played in Seattle, which is where he spent the last two seasons. And Joe, another guy that for the most part in his career has been very durable and available for his team. So, again, the trend kind of continuing there. He's played 17 games in each of the last 2 years. I'm not comparing him to this guy in terms of the production.
I know what you're going
to
say.
But he is, like, in terms of the skill set he brings to the table and his versatility – and his ability to move to the edge and move, you know, into the interior. It is kind of like Danico Autry, right? Like that's kind of like what he brings to the table. The production is just not at Danico Autry's level. But he had 6.5 sacks in 2022, 4.5 in 2023, 4 last year. So, look, Draymond Jones is not some superstar rusher here, but they needed to address that spot. And his ability to play in different spots, I think, is intriguing.
Yep, I like him. I like the signing. I like him. He's a tough, good football player. And there is definitely the Danico comparison is apt. So yeah, I like that one for sure. They needed to do that because it's a thing. Now you kind of, I mean, obviously they have to actually get pure edges, you know, on this defense. They need to do that, but this helps a little bit with that, and you can move some people around. And I mean, Danico Autry was – again, this guy isn't Danico, but that type of player can be so valuable for a defense.
Yes, and, you know, just at this point, having some options to put out on the edge. They don't by any means need to be done there. Like, they still need to heavily address that as they go through the rest of the offseason here. But having some options to put out there I think is a really good thing. Mac Jones, Joe – is no longer available to be signed by the Titans. He is now backup quarterback in San Francisco, signing a 2-year deal with the 49ers. So Zach Wilson down to Miami. Mac Jones is out in San Francisco. Jacoby Brissett is in Arizona on a 2-year deal as a backup. So these kind of stopgap bridge 1-year, maybe stopgaps at the quarterback spot or backup veteran quarterbacks to Cam Ward are quickly going off the table, Joe. So some more quarterback movement yesterday. No Mac Jones to the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're talking – I mean, again, we've been poo-pooing all the people talking about Levis starting next year. I'm still there, but I'm also like, boy, well, let me start adding this up. You're talking about backups, and so it's just hard for me to read this situation. You know, Ron has texted us a couple times, says, in my opinion, Titans are telling everyone what they're doing by not telling everyone what they're doing by doing nothing at quarterback. It's hard. I mean, it's hard for me to look at this whole thing and not think that Cam Ward blew them away on his visit, and we just always say Cam Ward because everyone thinks he's QB1.
Yeah.
I'm not completely discounting Shedeur Sanders either, but a quarterback, I would guess Ward is going to be the pick at one, right?
At this point, I hope so. Because I think I would rather see them draft Cam Ward in the first round and like Kyle McCord in the second round before I'd rather see, you know, Will Levis play starting quarterback for the Titans next year. That's where I'm at.
Wow. Man.
I've seen it. I don't need to see it again. That's just me.
So is it just that you hate players who wear the number 8? Did you have rival in high school who wore the number 8 or something?
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I'd have to go back and study that part of it. But
yeah.
I would like for the players that wear number 8 around here to be good at some point. That would help. Mm,
oh, my goodness. Now you're taking shots at Mariota. By the way, he's off the table.
Yeah. I mean, just
Commanders. Back to the Commanders.
The veteran options are rolling. And apparently, Joe, apparently Kirk Cousins is sticking around in Atlanta. So there's that, too. Not that I ever thought Kirk Cousins was coming here, but apparently he's sticking around in Atlanta.
At some point, you know, it costs you to be such a good guy.
It does.
Like, if he was any sort of a jerk at all last year and he lost his job, then it'd be like, well, okay, we need to move on. But they're like, God, this guy's amazing. He's a great leader, and he's helped Michael. And, you know, I will say, I mean, it's, you know, I feel bad for Kirk because I know he wants to go out there. And I think, you know, he'd get a starting job probably somewhere. But although there's got to be skepticism about the health. But it's not a, you know, if you're the Falcons, are you 100% sure that Penix is like going to be like he take a big step? Also, do you feel like actually Cousins is going to be a lot healthier next year? Now you actually have two viable starters. I mean, it's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
No, it just I thought that Cousins would do whatever it took to like force his way out of there, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah, he went in and talked to Arthur Blank, and he was so nice. But Arthur Blank's like, I love you, man. You got to stay. Come on, Kirk.
I'm interested to get Charles' thoughts on that a little bit later in the program. Yeah, Joe, quickly.
That's one thing Charles was wrong about.
That is true. That is true. I didn't even think about that. Quickly, before we get to best and worst things in sports, a trade made by the Titans yesterday, Kenneth Murray sent to the Dallas Cowboys basically for a pick swap. The Cowboys send a 6th-round pick to the Titans, and the Titans send their 7th-round pick, which I believe is 239th. Overall, and that frees up the room for Kenneth Murray there. What did you make of that deal?
Yeah, it's we've been talking about, you know, inside linebacker. Okay, it's probably first of all, I mean, I now think back to all the glowing things said about Kenneth Murray last year when he had some ups and downs. He made some plays and then he made some mistakes and things like that. But boy, I think this speaks pretty loudly about what they thought of him. And it's, again, this is another like acquisition from last offseason that clearly, you know, just didn't work. So now what are they doing there? Is this a comment on Cedric Gray that they actually think he is a viable starting option? James Williams? They're going to get somebody else. It seemed to me like they had a pretty clear starting two and now not. So it has to say one of those things at least.
You would
just
think.
Don't know which one.
You would think. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that coming up next. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
Believe in miracles? Yes!
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, I'm not just going to go with, you know, college basketball is awesome, March Madness and all that stuff, although this is March.
It is.
But I am going to be in the college basketball world, and you sent me this. I hope you weren't going to do this.
No.
My brother sent it to me before you did yesterday. My brother's a Virginia Tech grad. And, then, of course, he also sent it to me like, I hope we can keep Toby Lawal, but we probably can't. But this is a quote after the Hokies lost to Cal to end their season. That might be one of the greatest quotes of all time. He said, quote, talking about the expectations for Virginia Tech men's basketball and how that turned out. He said, quote, they thought we were going to be ass. I mean, we were still ass, but, you know, we weren't that bad, end quote. It might be one of the greatest quotes.
One of the greatest quotes ever.
They thought we were going to be ass. I mean, we were still, but still absolutely amazing. So, Toby Lawal, you are my best in sports. My worst, I'll keep it there too. I complained a little bit in the first segment, but you know, Brett Yarmark, and it's not gonna, he won't be the last one trying to push the expansion. Again, it's not everybody else's fault that you guys have decided to create 16, 18, whatever we're headed team conferences, okay? But that's really, you know, the cover of this is under the guise of, you know, Division One, all this expansion. We have 300 whatever teams that keep. So we, how do you not expand the tournament? It's just this percentage of the tournament. Again, the vast, vast, vast majority, they're going to be stuck with the same number of automatic bids that they, you know, it's not changing. Okay. You're just creating bigger conferences. You're not getting two bids for the CAA or the Patriots. So stop acting like this helps the little guy. It's because you want a higher percentage of your teams to get those automatic, those units, financial units from being in the tournament. No, that don't mess up our tournament. And so the fight continues. But, I mean, I'm definitely not optimistic that they're going to be able to keep it from like 76 at some point soon.
Yeah, not looking forward to that. Keezer, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, I saw this story from, I believe, Bark Lazarus. Jonathan Toews looking to return next season, fellas. Read more about that. I know he had a previous story kind of talking about his adventures to get his health in check. But I thought that was a really unique story, just the way that he was talking about what he's gone through, and he still feels like he can do it. I don't know if he's going to sign next year or not, but that was a pretty cool story to dive into earlier this week. And I know that for me, I'd like to see a guy like that come back, and I think Patrick Kane had, what, 5 points last night or something like that. So to see those guys from my generation still play is really cool, so I'd like to see him go out on his note. Not opposed to his health issues. And then worst in sports, how about Tiger Woods and his Achilles, man? That's just brutal. 49, ruptured Achilles. I guess he can just kind of relax and watch his virtual golf league, right?
I guess. I mean, look, I think if you've watched him, the days of him like competing for major championships and stuff are very likely over. I was looking forward to watching him in the Masters coming up, but that guy gets hurt. That guy's body is failing him, so. We'll see. Look, he's going to rehab, he says, and try to come back. So we'll see what that looks like on the Tiger front. Joe, both my best and my worst could be taken any way. You could be taken for best or worst. And I look forward to these when the opportunity presents itself. My best thing is the New York Giants and how inept they are, because I find it to be hilarious. I go back to the Hard Knocks stuff last year where the owner is sitting there and is like, man, I'm just going to have a tough time sleeping tonight if Saquon ends up on the Eagles. And then, of course, Saquon ended up on the Eagles and won a Super Bowl. And now they're desperate, apparently, as all get out, to end up with one of these quarterbacks. And if they get shut out by Rodgers, they will have tried for Stafford, missed on that. Tried for Rodgers, missed on that. They might get stuck with Russell Wilson, maybe, if he wants to go there, although he's meeting with Cleveland, apparently. They may not be able to get Cam Ward because the Titans might draft him. And they may just be stuck in absolute no man's land at the quarterback spot. And I, for one, find it hilarious. So it's my best thing in sports. My worst thing, which Josh on the text line has as his best thing. The Predators keep winning. Predators have won a lot of games. They've won four in a row. They got Anaheim coming up tomorrow night, and they're playing some pretty good hockey right now. So at a time of the year, Joe, where we talked about, hey, man, it's been this bad, might as well get a top pick out of it. They're winning some games and putting together a streak and playing good hockey, which I know for the players in the room, they feel good about, and that's what they want to do. From an organizational standpoint and me looking at the draft, I don't love it if I'm a Predators fan.
I mean, they can't even lose when they need to lose. Everything they need to do this year, they do the opposite of. Why?
I don't know. But like all of a sudden, Stamkos, I think Stamkos got like 9 points in the last four games, and he's just feeding the net right now. And it's like, okay, cool. Like Stamkos is just going to go on an absolute tear, which on one hand, Joe, I mean, you look at that and you're like, okay, well, cool. Like, does that mean he could get some confidence heading into next year and he looks more like Steven Stamkos? But, you know, you're not making the playoffs at this point. So I'm all on team draft right now.
Yeah. I mean, individually, you definitely, you do want these people you know you're going to have to lean on next year to have a good feeling going into next year. So that would be good. And I know we're going to get into this later, but, you know, I mean, something like this probably helps Andrew Brunette, right? I guess if you're a Preds fan, you know, there's probably different feelings on that too. But ultimately, you got to get one of those picks. You got to get one of those guys.
And it's a lottery system, so they still might.
Sure. There's
still a lot of hockey left over this next month to sort out here. So who knows? They could end up back in 30th or 31st, but they could also end up in like 26th. So we'll see what that looks like for the Predators. Jared Stillman will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and the moves that they've made to this point in free agency with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.